His transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. As we have often talked about, the book of Proverbs is a book that is written from the standpoint of describing what is wisdom. What is the wise manner of pursuing one's life? And in essence, it is proclaimed in this book that wisdom is comprised of looking at life from the viewpoint that God looks at it. And if we will pursue our lives with that in mind, that we're going to look at life and life's issues and responsibilities and all of the things that make it up, from the viewpoint that God looks at those things, that we will truly then be wise people. And so the information provided for us in this text, very simply, is that it's wise to confess. It may be hard to do it, but nonetheless, it's the course of wisdom that leads us to be people who are willing to confess transgressions and forsake them so that we might find compassion. One of my favorite teachers in high school was Mr. Hightower. He was an English teacher in my junior year. And Mr. Hightower kept his grades in a little different way than most of my teachers did. He, at the beginning of the year, he would hand out little 5x7 index cards. And then we had to write our name on the index card and what the subject that we were taking and the period that we were taking it in. Then he would collect those cards, and then as the school year passed, he would record our grades on each of those cards. And he would put the test scores down as he graded them. But then also as the class would proceed, he would use those cards to record whether we were participating in class or not. He would ask us questions about our homework assignment. And if you didn't do your homework, he would make a note of that in the card. If you were sleeping, he would, he'd make a note of that in the card. Everything went into the card. And so when he would ask you a question, and you didn't know the answer, maybe you hadn't done your homework, and you would say, "Well, Mr. Hightower, I didn't do my homework," he'd take those cards out and he'd file through them and find your card. And as he was making note that you had not done your homework, he would say, "Confession is good for the soul, but it's bad for the card." And he was right. In both instances, it is something that is good for us. It is to our good that God speaks to us about making confession. Now, the word confession is a word that in both the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament means essentially to say the same thing. I think the New International Version may even translate the word confession as acknowledgement, to acknowledge something. Actually, in the Greek, the English word confession is from the word homologia, which is the combination of two Greek words, homo, which means same, and from the word logos or logia, which means word. So it's the same word. It is to say the same thing or to acknowledge something. And so in the scriptures you will find confession being used, for instance, to speak of one's coming to faith in the Lord, of confessing Christ, making the good confession, as Scripture speaks of. And what that means is, when we confess Christ, we are saying the same word about Christ. We are acknowledging, we are saying that we believe what God has said about Christ, about who Christ is. We say the same word. And when we talk about confessing sin, we're still talking about saying the same word. When we confess our sins, we are acknowledging that we have done something wrong, that we are guilty of something. I am saying, as I confess my sins to God, I am saying the same thing that He has said about my actions. That's wrong, David. And then David is saying, yes, God, that was wrong. I say the same thing about it. Well, there are a number of reasons why that's hard and why it's difficult for us many times to confess, in spite of the fact that it is the avenue to gaining compassion. And I want to talk to you this evening for a few moments about some things, some reasons that it's difficult for us sometimes to confess. Psalms chapter 32 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." God, if we will say the same thing about our sins that He says about them, God will cover those sins. A lot of times we try to do the covering of the sin, and we do it by trying to avoid confessing it. Well, I want to suggest to you a few reasons why that's so. One is because confession of sin is so individual. There are some instances in the Scriptures where we see confession of wrongs being made in a corporate way for a group. Nehemiah and Ezra and Daniel, all three make confessions to God about the sin of their people. We're studying the book of Daniel in the adult class in the classroom, and took note of the fact that in all three of those instances, you've got those men making a recognition. They included themselves, but it was a recognition on behalf of the people that what they had done was wrong, that God was right when He identified their behavior as sinful. And so on behalf of their nation, these men were saying the same thing about what had been done, that it had been wrong. You know, it's somewhat easy for us to say in that general way, oh, well, yes, we sin. We all sin. We're human, as kind of the way we oftentimes say it, almost as if it is an excuse of some sort. What is really difficult is to say, I have sinned. I'm always made to think about David's declaration in the book of Psalms in the 51st chapter. And I'm sure you're familiar with it, but turn over there, Psalms 51, and just look with me at the first three verses of that chapter. It's a great chapter of confession where David is saying the same thing, not about other people, but he's saying the same thing that God has said about himself. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I want to tell you that if you and I are going to accomplish in our lives what confession is meant to accomplish, we're going to have to be willing to use the same kind of verbiage that David does. Look at what he says about his behavior. What does he call it? It's transgression, Lord. It's sin, Lord. It's iniquity, Lord. Iniquity just means lawlessness. What he's saying is, what I have done, Lord, is outside of your law. It is without your permission. And I was wrong in doing it. Now that makes confessing a challenge to us. If you think about the difficulties of confession, and also I think we have to acknowledge that it becomes difficult because it is so definite. It's not too difficult to say things in a general fashion, as I mentioned before. You know, it's almost like the kinds of apologies that we've become used to seeing politicians and athletes and celebrities, where they've gotten bad public relations, press about something they've said or something that they've done. And so they've been advised to make a public statement, and so they go on TV and they say, if I have done anything that offends anyone, well, I'm sorry for that. I'm just always amazed at that. If, well, my goodness, why do you think your public relations people advised you to go on TV and to make this statement? Why do you think there's been so much attention drawn to what you said or what you did? What do you mean, if? Well, that's what makes confession difficult, is it's definite. Did you notice in reading Psalms 51, nowhere does David say, Lord, if I ever transgressed, if I ever was iniquitous, if I ever sinned, I apologize. Oh, he said, I did it. I'm sorry for it. I'm here to apologize and to ask your forgiveness. But I did it. And it's hard to get that definitive about ourselves. If you turn over to Psalm 32, we find another similar kind of expression of what confession and making a confession really involves. Psalm 32 in verses 3 through 5. There the psalmist says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Notice he talks about some physical results of his refusal to repent, his refusal to confess wrongdoing. When I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin. There's our word, to acknowledge, to say the same thing. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Boy, we love to hear that, don't we? Forgive the guilt. And rightly so. We ought to love to hear that. But let's be sure we see how we get there. When I confessed my transgressions, thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. I'll tell you a third reason why confession is oftentimes a real challenge to us. It's because it is specific. Again, it's not hard to say, I hurt someone's feelings, instead of saying, I slandered you. It's not too difficult to say, well, I misrepresented, or I misspoke, or I was inaccurate in my assumptions, rather than to say, I lied about you. But that's exactly what confession requires of us. It requires that we be this kind of specific about things. It's hard to say, I've been a gossip. It's hard to say, I have been a troublemaker, stirring up dissension among God's people. It's hard to say, I'm a thief. I've taken things that don't belong to me. But I'll tell you what, God is not. There are a lot of things that God is, and there are a lot of things that God is not. And one of the things God is not is He is not a plea bargainer. He is not willing to bargain down, like we sometimes see in our legal system. He's not willing to plea bargain down on the charges. You remember perhaps in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, where the Lord warned His people, woe to those who put darkness for light, bitter for sweet. For those that change, who try to mitigate, to lessen what the circumstances truly are. They were living in a dark period. It was a bitter time. But there were certainly people who were willing to say, oh, this is a time of light and illumination. This is a time of sweetness. What they needed to be willing to do was to confess and to say the same thing, to use the same word that God used when He said, no, this is a dark time and this is a bitter time. Things are not well. I always think about when we talk about things like this and confession and its challenges. I think about the case of Simon over in the book of Acts in the 8th chapter. And notice, if you would please, in that text, in verse 22, where the apostle Peter, who has confronted this man Simon with his sin, says to him in verse 22, therefore repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. Do you think that Simon got to the point that we began looking at in Proverbs? That he got to the point of receiving compassion from God without acknowledging that what he had been doing was wicked? No, that's the whole point, is you can't get to that compassion, to that forgiveness of the guilt of our transgressions, without first being willing to say the same thing, the same word about our actions, our thoughts, that God has said. If God says that they're wicked, then if we're going to really confess, then we've got to be willing to say just that. What I've been doing is wicked. I have been wicked. It's also a challenge to do this because it's so humbling. We have to do this before the person that is we have sinned against in many instances. We have to do this all the time when we're confessing to God, because every sin that we commit is against God. We go back to that wonderful example of David in Psalms chapter 51 in verse 4. Before thee and thee only have I sinned. He had to humble himself to the point of being willing to say to the Lord that what I've done is wrong. And sometimes when we are dealing with people, if we have wronged someone, we need to confess that to them. We need to be willing to say what I've done to you and to ask for forgiveness from them. That's what confession is. It's saying the same thing God says about ourselves. And then finally, I would say to you that confession is hard. It's so challenging to us because it requires our being dependent. It requires our acknowledging the fact that I am reliant upon someone else for something. You go back to our text in Proverbs. What was it that was the goal that the wise man was talking about that we were trying to get to? It was to receive compassion. It was to be forgiven. But that requires that I am dependent upon someone for that. And that's always so difficult for us. A man may very well admit his meanness. And in some instances, he may tend to be proud of it. But a man who seeks no pardon for his meanness is never going to receive compassion. A man who seeks pardon is going to have to seek it by means of confession. We talk about it a lot, and rightly so. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Plan of salvation. That's how you become a Christian. And that's absolutely right. And a lot of times we talk about how difficult it is to get folks to be baptized today. And I think that's probably true in comparison to years past. But I'll tell you what's harder to do than to get people baptized. It's to get people to confess and to say of themselves the same thing that God says about them. To confess that they're a sinner. To confess that Jesus is God's Son. To say the same thing about those two critical issues is the real challenge. But for those people that do want compassion, that's exactly what they'll do. Mr. Hightower was right. Confession is good for the soul. But it's hard. It's hard because of our pride. But I would ask you this evening, those who are Christians, who may be living lives that are contrary to what they know to be God's will for His people, do you desire compassion from God? Then you need to get to a place in your life where you can say the same thing about your life that God says about it. It'll be good for your soul. If you're not a Christian, you need to get to the same place in your life where you're willing to say the same thing about Jesus that God says. He's my Son. Listen to Him. You need to be willing to say the same thing about yourself that God says about you. You're a sinner, separated. But reconciliation is possible. And compassion can be had. But it'll only be through confessing your need for God's compassion. Do you believe Jesus is God's Son? Would you tonight turn from your sins? Would you confess your faith and be baptized? Wash your sins away. We pray you will while we stand and sing together.